Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, October 26, 2014. My name is Sucharita, and I'm very, very, very happy to be joining you all around the world to this weekly call, especially during this time, which is the time to access an energy that will really take you to high, high heights in your spiritual practice, and also to give you that high energy to dissolve away any congested energies that are no longer serving your highest and best in your life. So, hi. I'm giggling because I just spent a couple of hours with a group here where I'm situated in Delhi. And I was in our community here. We have the Nadi reader, Dharma Savraj, and the translator Guru. And they blessed us with their presence. They came to the class, the gathering. And wow, I don't even know where to begin. It was so powerful. It took everything to this most divine state, in that everyone who was participating in the talk and then the meditation, this exchanging of experiences, the spiritual experiences, the enlightening moments that everyone had, it was like God's gift to each and every person to receive Lord Muruga's grace and blessings and to be in the presence of divine people on this earth plane who walk amongst us and look like the next person. And that's what I love about Dr. Pillai, is because he can be walking in and among crowds of people, and no one would know that what his mission is in this lifetime, which is to bring heaven on earth and to help us to realize God inside of us and then see it in each and every person we come into contact with, each and every living being, plants, animals, anything that's living on the earth plane is God made. So it was such a beautiful blessing and blissful moments. It seemed like a moment, although a few hours had gone by, to be in this, in the presence of this divine community and these divine people. And not that everyone isn't divine, but that's the beauty of coming together. As Dr. Pillai says, I want to bring people together, whether it's online through the internet, which is such a gift from God as well, that we can all join together from wherever we are in the world and talk about things that we are not able to talk about in our everyday life, maybe so easily with friends, family members, colleagues, and so on. And then when we have these spiritual experiences, are they for real? You bet they are. So, and then what does that mean? So when you come together, when we come together in Dr. Pillai's name, he brings the energy of the week to our full attention. So we get the fullest potential. The energy is so potent that it impregnates us with this consciousness that then allows us to create whatever we want to see in our lives, experience in our lives, feel in our lives. A lot of people, they say, you know, I have everything, blah, 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 but I don't feel. So today, tonight, wherever you are in the world, I invite you to receive this meditation practice and the blessings coming from Dr. Pillai through the guided tour of your inner world, so that you can feel everything going on inside of you. You can maybe see, you can have visions, you can maybe experience a clarity in your thinking where a problem that you've been knocking your head against for so long finally has a breakthrough and you have the answer. Or you've been sick or you have an illness and worry about your kids, your job, your husband, your wife, whatever. And that releases itself from you. So you feel that release. It's not something made up in your head. Did I feel it? Did I don't feel it? Oh, maybe I just felt it and it's never. And then I'm back to my worry again. I will invite you to go delve deeper as we go and get the blessings of Lord Muruga through Dr. Pillai's grace. And then you have an experience that maybe you'll feel like sharing or maybe some people will share. And then we will, during the open discussion, and then there's also questions that people can ask. So Lord Muruga, why are we talking about Lord Muruga? People might be joining us for the first time and say, I don't even know what that is. So it's a good question. And I invite you to just understand that it's an energy that comes from an archetype called Lord Muruga, Muruga. And he is a divine being who's, for this past three nights, he has been working on everyone in the whole world internally and also externally. So he's known to root out or dissolve away any obstacles or challenges or conflict that you have that's coming from past karmas, maybe in this lifetime, maybe in other lifetimes. If you don't believe in that, lifetimes ago, it's okay. You can just see in this lifetime where you get stuck, where you have conflict with in interpersonal relationships especially, because we all know that we, even if we go somewhere else, away from other people, we still have our own inner world that we have to deal with and our own inner internal conflicts. So it's not about right or wrong. It's not about good or bad. It's just about having that ability to let go of the energy that causes pain on the physical level, pain on the mental level, the emotional level, the spiritual level, the health level, the financial level. Muruga takes care especially of financial stress. And everyone in the world, no matter how much money you have or do not have, experiences stress. And people who don't have might say, oh, come on. People who have money, they don't have any stress. Oh, yes, they do. They worry about people taking it away from them. They worry about not having enough, just as someone who doesn't have money would feel the same. So what we're getting at here is that Lord Muruga will wipe out all that nonsense and take the energy away from those thoughts or beliefs that you had around any issue in your life. So once that energy is gone, you can't really hang on to that thought or belief. It doesn't serve you. So you could have the thought and it would be there, but it won't be energized such that you act upon it. So let's get into a state of receptivity where Lord Muruga can get inside of us, implant inside of us the consciousness to wipe out anything that's related to conflicts such as rivals or enemies of the body, mind, or soul that can come in the form of ill health or disease or financial stress or worry, relationship problems, bitterness in marriages or bitterness among people. When you experience that, holy cow, you've just come up against a strong karma. So what do you do? You can keep doing it over and over, and therapy isn't helping. It's helping to an extent, but it's not making it to go away fast enough. So call on Lord Muruga because his energy is here. It's readily available, and it happens once a year, and we are in the midst of it. So this is kind of the peak of the six nights, and where the energy is really strong, and it's going to explode in the next following three nights. But so now it's like it's taken a big leap, and not in the sense that you leap out of your body consciousness, which you will, some people, but I invite you to really feel the changes in your brain or the changes in the body part that we are going to walk you through. Thanks for joining those of you who need to go. Have a fabulous rest of Skanda Shasti. There's still opportunity for you to participate on some level. You can listen to last week's recording. You can find out what to do in these next 3 days or nights, depending on where you are in the world. To get the most out of the energy that's available to destroy negative karmas. Once and for all, and you can go on to Palai Center, Ashurved, as well, and find out about it as well. Skanda Shasti. So, slowly, slowly come back. We'll see what people have to say. I hope that there'll be some good sharing. Yeah, there always is every week. But what your experience is, especially during this time, it's only once a year that we can all come together as a community and share about this Palladian God that is the head of the archetype, the healing divine physicians who are going to come and heal everyone on the planet as we step into the golden age. So I'm going to open a line, and then you just need to press star 6 to share.
Hi, this is Brenda.
Hey, Brenda, how are you?
I'm good. When we do these exercises, I always have to imagine it because I don't really feel anything.
Great.
So I just imagine it. Okay, so today I think my imagination went wild or something.
Okay, tell us.
It sounds like I'm crazy. So I was imagining Dr. Palai sending the red beam of focused laser beam into my third eye, and all of a sudden my brain was on fire, burning up. I mean, just in my imagination, I thought, oh my gosh, I got to turn this down.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, so I'm still here.
Yeah. That's a really good sign. It's a really good sign in that, you know, when your third eye gets activated, it's burning away all the limited thinking, all the kind of veils, they call it, that are preventing you from accessing these divine beings. And your visualizations are pretty powerful. So even if you don't feel... Some people are more visual, some people more auditory, some people feel things. But I invite you to, or maybe I'm going to ask you the question, when you saw this burning thing going on, did you have a sensation to go with it, or it was just a you imagined it?
Okay, so I tried to not imagine it, but it was still imagining it. And then
mm-hmm.
and then it was like in my spine too. And then,
mm-hmm.
The fire seemed to like go up and down my spine or something, or I don't know. At any rate, nothing happened. I mean, I didn't feel anything.
Did you feel a change in body temperature?
I couldn't really tell if the base of my spine might have felt, but I don't think so. I really don't. It's just like, okay, when you were talking before that, I started like looking at the veil in a new way. And seeing
okay.
it as my spine, and then the top of it with the two lobes is like interacting with the two lobes of my brain.
Okay.
And it was just kind of a revelation that way. So anyway, afterwards I felt like a lot of stuff had burned up or something and was being swept away. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. That's great.
Well, I don't know. It might have just been me trying to get it out of my bed. So that's all.
That's great. And please let us know how it all unfolds for you. Because sometimes when we're in the moment of the meditation, all we can do is like observe. But then how does it show up in our life? So take note of that and maybe put a post-it note and say, okay, what happened here after this meditation?
Okay, that's a really good plan.
Yeah. And then let us know how your meditations go after that. That would be kind of fun.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing, Barbara. Or Brenda, sorry, Brenda. One of the things that Dr. Ply has mentioned about working with the veil. The veil is a spirit-like object, as you know. And then it's a symbol. It's a symbol to, it's a divine symbol to access the energy of this particular archetype. So when we have a real strong experience with the veil, whether it's on a feeling level, like a kinesthetic level, or auditory or visual, then we know that that symbol is imprinting in us. It's kind of like the key to the lock. So the key to the lock of the door that opens us to Murga's energy is the veil. One of them is. There's a couple of others. The peacock and the rooster are also associated with Lord Murga. But for today, we just learned about the veil. And then if you go on to the webcast, oh my God. Every year, Dr. Ply puts out a webcast series for things like Skandashasti, celebrations like Skandashasti or the Navaratri or whatever thing that is going on that we can, you know, get some karma removed or get a better understanding of what our spiritual path is and how to apply that in our everyday life. And this particular Skandashasti, as I mentioned in previous calls this weekend, it was out of this world, the teachings that Dr. Ply shares during these particular webcasts. So I've participated in Skandashasti webcasts and teachings and initiations in the past, and to some extent they've been similar mantras, just as they are this year, a couple, but the experience that I had and continue to have, even when I'm not meditating or sitting down in a formal period of time for formal meditation, all of a sudden I was just like, oh my God, the teaching that Baba just did through the webcast, it's coming through me. It's out of this world. It's indescribable. As you can tell, I'm kind of lost for words. So having said that, coming from me, who's just blah, 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 I invite you, if you haven't been able to get the webcast for whatever reason, please get it. It's available still. And the teachings you get to keep and then use in your practice, especially if you're going through challenging times. Because Lord Murga takes care of enemies, diseases, debts, litigation, credit card debts especially. Who doesn't have credit card debts? God bless you if you don't. But just having that is, we have succumbed to, oh, it's normal. It's not. It drags you down if you're really honest with yourself energetically. So who can get rid of that is Lord Murga. And then Dr. Ply shares about that particular, and then relationships. In fact, he's doing a Google Hangout now that will be, I think it's a recording, and then it'll be available. You can watch it whenever you want. It's on plycenter.com. And he's talking in particular about Lord Maruga and relationships. And because relationships, if they're really not so good, or we can develop loving and supportive relationships, and we've kind of, if you're at a point where you say, just say, accept, okay, well, not everybody can get along, and that's my fate in life, and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a solution. And you can get to the blessings of Lord Maruga to heal the relationships, to make enemies into your friends. Holy cow, would that be worth it? Right? Even the strongest rival, especially with family in particular, you know, we're obligated to go to different family functions and things like that. We have, in the U.S., there's Thanksgiving coming up, and then that starts the series of festivities where we have find ourselves having to go to family functions. They're functions that maybe aren't family-related, but we really don't want to because maybe we don't get along with people. And we probably have great reason not to. However, take the veil with you. Get the teachings and implant those, that energy into you. And you will find people will turn around on a dime. Instantaneously, you will go, pinch me. Is this really me? Is this really my, you know, the person I'm having conflict with for 50 years? Maybe more, maybe less. It doesn't exist anymore. Thank you, Lord Maruga and the veil. And so many people have said, it sounds a little crazy. And it is. It is pretty out of this world. But hey, whatever works. That's what Dr. Ply says. Just, if you know something that works, let me know. I'll get into it. I'll look into it. I'll will promote it as well. So the veil, Lord Maruga, will heal relationships, credit card debt. Someone was just sharing tonight about their credit card debt. They had done Skanda Shasti a few years ago, not knowing anything about it too much. Came from a Buddhist background. So, and then before that, a Catholic background. So then it got introduced to Skanda, Lord Maruga, who is from the Hindu tradition. And so Dr. Pillai said, you just do this meditation, stick the veil in your wallet, put one in your car, keep one in your pocket, maybe on your desk or your computer. So this person loaded up with the veils and then did the teachings for the six nights. And particularly they put the veil on the credit card, forgot about it. Every time the person went out, didn't pull the credit card out. It wouldn't even dawn on the person to pull the credit card out. Then after some time, and just kept going, you know, paying the bills down, even decided to pay more down, but wasn't conscious of it at the time. Like, oh, I'm going to pay $200 or $300 on this one because I got this. This was happening. Yeah, just found that, oh, point, click, okay, choose this number, click. It was this, as if he was possessed by Lord Maruga himself to get the credit card debt to come down. And then about 6 months into it, it was in the minus sign, so he had overpaid the credit card down. So it's curious how this works. But really, it works. So try the veil. You can do that. Maybe some other people can share about what their experiences with the veil. Some people take a lime and they roll it around. We've done that in karma busting practices. And they roll it around their head and all the different sense organs, things like that. Rest of the body, and then they imagine the negativity going into the lemon or lime, which is the surrogate. And then they take it and pierce it on the veil. Oh, my God. Just doing that and imagining that your karma is just destroyed. Because the veil is you, it's your higher self, it's God, it's the symbol, the technology, the key to that part of you that really is a warrior. Not in an angry way, but in enough is enough. This is not acceptable. I cannot have debt. I cannot have enemies. I cannot have disease or ill health or no energy or, like direction, dissatisfaction. Direction is missing and then there's dissatisfaction. So the veil, and you just can take it. People take it to meetings where they have to do presentations. And then they just stick their hand in the pocket and twirl the veil around. Or they have an interview. They have the veil. Some people have put it on a chain somehow, fixed it, and then put it in the, as a necklace in the shirt, inside the shirt. They feel the veil. And that cue, that body cue, that connection makes them to feel so confident and competent. And it's almost like they say one person who went into this interview in a position that she just felt totally, this was a real jump in her career, and was totally qualified but totally nervous. And there was nothing to be nervous about. However, she was just challenging her karma. She knew it. But the body was saying, be shaky, maybe the karma was saying, blow it. But then she just had the veil. And then everything just was smooth. Mm-hmm. So it will make it to have this super hyper alertness to you that says, don't mess with me. And give me what I want. Because I'm really friendly and you should like me. Right. So it gives tremendous self-esteem, self-confidence, that ability to even overcome, people in your lives that you may have felt have created obstacles for you. That disappears. And then what even is better, the best thing, is that it opens up that part of our brain, activates the part of our brain that has so much compassion that it overrides everything. It just melts even the hardest of hearts, including our own. And that deep-seated stuff that is just like tacking us down to our old ways, and then people see us as our old way of being, and we can't even shake that. Please don't see me like that anymore. I'm trying so hard to be different, to have evolved and things like that. But then there's that one little part. Yeah? Go ahead.
Hi, Sutresha. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Please go ahead. But who is it?
My name is Madeline.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi. So firstly, I would just like to say thank you so much for these lectures and meditations that you do. It's been really fantastic, and I'm very appreciative of them.
Hi, you're very welcome. Where are you calling from, Madeline?
Los Angeles.
Ah, great. Tell me.
And
tell us.
I'm relatively new to Dr. Ply and have been blown away.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could speak to, I guess I'm going to go with calling it faith, because I have a very strong brain that doesn't like to shut off. So, I'm trying to do a meditation, and there's the part of me that totally and completely believes, but the brain that's just like, well, you're the exception to the rule, or do you really think, or what about this, or how are you going to do that? And I feel like it's getting in the way, and it prevents me from really connecting. And when you were speaking earlier about the feeling, like I feel like my brain gets in the way of that.
Okay. So what you want me to just comment on it, or is there a question too?
Well, I guess commentary, or if there's any additional practices. I went on the site and got all the daily practices, and I've been doing all of the things, and I'm doing the Gandha Shasti for these 6 nights with Muruga, but my brain really gets in the way. So if you have any insight or commentary or anything that might be useful to help shift that, I would be very appreciative.
Okay, Madeline, great. So first of all, I'm so glad that you've come forward with this question, because it is a question that many, many, many of us have, even those people who, like myself, are seasoned meditators. So, for example, here I am sitting in front of this divine and honorable being who reads Naughty Leaves for his dharma, his living in life, and that's his service to humanity. And he reads the lives of people where the siddhas have written down these lives and thousands of years ago. And he has been privileged to get the blessings to be able to reveal to those souls who will come to him what the prediction is, what the predicament is in their life, and then not only that, give them remedy. And he's been doing this for a long time. He's read my Naughty Leaves several times. And he's helped me to really understand how important it is to connect to the divine and to keep staying on the path and to live out the dharma in and amongst everyone in the world and not just go to a cave and om om om, you know, space out. So he, being in the presence of him, and a very large group of people, relatively large group of people, larger than usually comes, I was in my monkey mind. And it was jumping all over the place. It was like, are you kidding me? You're going to stay for the meditation? Oh, my God, this is too much pressure. So I had almost like a dual conversation going on. So what I'm saying, Madeline, is sometimes the monkey mind or that brain won't shut off. But what will do, what does happen, is you stay committed to the practice. Faith is nothing but utter positivity. So just write that down if you're new, or maybe you've heard this before. And it's helped me forever with Dr. Pillai, is utter positivity. It doesn't matter if you think you're doing it right, wrong, good, bad, left, right, up, down, sideways, wacky. When you go and you surrender to a practice, the positive energy that is coming through is the divine, and you are just going to stay focused on that as long as you can, even if it's checking in and out. I'm back again. Oh, I'm there. Oh, now I'm here. Oh, now I'm jumping around. Oh, now I'm thinking this. But then there will come a point where your faith, or that utter positivity, meaning you're just logging on to the meditation, the symbol, the practice, the whatever it is that you're doing, something will create this lock and key, because you've kept surrendering to this faith, this positive energy. So then inside of that, what happened was this expansion for me anyway. So this expansion happened, but I had this story going on that, oh my God, he's going to come up and say, well, you were really off, because he can read minds. You know, I thought, oh my God, he's going to, he didn't say anything. That was great. He said I was totally in a different state of consciousness. You know, he had this beautiful experience, and I was just like, wow, how does that happen? So it will calm down, and it is good that you are noticing, if you're brand new to Dr. Pillai, the energy is so strong. So what it's going to do is it's going to really illuminate all those useless thoughts that we have. And it's going to bring those to the forefront, but then they'll start to shake loose and shake free. And then from time to time, we'll have blank meditations where nothing's going on, and you're going, am I even thinking? Like you'll come back afterwards and people will say, I was so gone. But I was totally present. I could hear your voice saying something. So to get back to the answer to your question about how to develop faith or how to override it is going to be a little bit of a dance. There is a mantra. If you pray to Lord Maruga, he will give you the faith because he is the God of faith. There's a mantra, Prachanda Skandaya Namaha. And that is also available on the website, and it's in the blogs as well, where we take a meditation. We have that. We talked about it. So you can get it there, or just go to Ply Center, and I think there might even be a download on how to get faith. Or it's also in YouTube for free. So Prachanda Skanda is a form of Lord Maruga that gives you faith. And then the mind will be jumping around, but then you will get to a point where it can be there and it will be just kind of like background noise. So just as we are in our life, people are talking and they sound like wah, 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 wah after a while because we're in our own little world, right? Sometimes I think that's what's happening here. That's okay. So that's sort of... that's my response to you at this moment in time, and then just encouraging you to continue to do your practices, and that out of your commitment will spring faith. You can't run after faith. You can fake it till you make it, like Dr. Pillai says. So you say, okay, I'm utterly positive, I'm utterly positive, I'm utterly positive, oh, I'd like to poke that person in the eye. You know, where did that thought come from, right? Or, geez, I'm such a failure, I'm never going to get it. I can't even meditate. Like, that's nothing, you know. It's huge. So this path is, it's a fun one to tread. And because you're seeing it, that's a real sign. That's a sign that you have faith. Some people don't even know that they are, you know, have faith or don't have faith. How will we know? We have to test it. So it's not, your belief system is only coming through your experience. People can blah, 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 but until you experience it for your own self, then you will have faith. But then that will be rocked too. Even the saints and all the best of the best along the way, and historically speaking, who have attained great spiritual heights, have said, I've had my dark nights of the soul where my faith was totally, totally tested and totally demolished. And that's great because you just had a breakthrough. Went through a black hole. But you come out the other side. Does that help at all?
It helps tremendously. And I think even your analogy of it being a dance is really such a beautiful way to look at it, because I guess it is just a continuous cultivation, and really, in a sense, I guess the faith is there because I'm committed to the practice and I've been doing it. So I guess that's a form of faith, even though it doesn't necessarily show up the way I think it should or whatever. So, yeah, that's amazingly helpful. And may I ask you something about the Prachanda Skandaya mantra?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to do it the other night and found myself really tripping over it. And
okay.
I thought, I know it's new and it will come. And so I felt a little judgy of myself, surprisingly, right? Because I've done something.
Yep.
I was like, you're doing it wrong and you have to close your eyes and you can't count the mala beads with it because you messed it up, and then do I have to do another one? And I was, like, all over the place. And so I was trying to be easy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And note, I said trying, and I choose that word consciously because it was effort.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing these mantras, because then I'm like, oh, you have to say it perfectly or you might screw it up, and then the energy will be messed up, or you'll do something bad, and then you'll get bad karma. And it's a whole head trip. So how important is it when one is learning, like, how neurotic do I need to feel that it's pronounced perfectly, that my eyes are closed? Like, can I cheat and look at it because it helps me and I mess up the order sometimes? Like, how important is it that it be perfect?
I think it's more important for you to be neurotic. No. Here's the thing, is that when we're on this path, it is a little crazy. But Dr. Pillai will say, you go a little crazy because not only are you learning a new language, the language of the gods. Sanskrit, Tamil are the language of the gods. So when you're being invited to learn it, we are like kindergarten age on the spiritual path. So why are you so hard on yourself, right?
Because you're not supposed to color outside of the line.
Okay. So that's fine. Then what you can do is that you can just listen to I think it's on the YouTube, right? Tripura Samhara Pratyanja Skandaya Namaha, right? That one?
Yes. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So you can just be playing that. And it's like a song on the radio. When you hear the song on the radio over and over and over again, like almost every hour, maybe I don't even know how often they do it now to ram it into our heads so it becomes like a tune that we'll remember for the rest of our lives.
Right.
So the mantra in and of itself is going to take time to calibrate with you anyway, because it's not just words. You are inviting that being. And the word Tripura is the word that purifies the ego, the karma, the maya, everything that you've ever known about yourself. So it's almost like the word Tripura is like you trip over yourself. So, it's almost like you're aware that this is a tricky one, but then you surrender to it. Learn it in the way that the divine wants you to learn it. If it says you got to trip over this, you will then appreciate that energy in your system and you will have that experience of faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
No one will shake that. You will have unshakable faith. And it's not just this mantra, it's any mantra. Just wait till you get on and you start doing if you decide to carry on with Dr. Pillai's programs. He'll have whole hymns in Tamil or Sanskrit. And people will say to me, oh my God, Sujata, I don't even know, how am I ever going to learn this? And all of a sudden, over time, in that program, they're saying it. Because the thing is that you just keep listening to it like you would a song on the radio. Or
right.
Having it playing in the background on repeat while you're sleeping. So there's two things. The sort of the practical approach to learning something new, especially something that's supercharged with incredible energy that you just that goes beyond language or your understanding of who you are and what you can handle. So that energy has to integrate itself. So, and in the meantime, you're going to be faced with all those things that get in the way of your history of learning, from when you were a kid, coloring between the lines, right? You're not
right.
A wire, so you'll see now, oh my God, why am I saying even that to myself? There's no right or wrong way. Who cares? Right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, Sujata, thank you so much for all your time and your wisdom. It was really helpful.
No, you're very welcome. I just want to say one more thing. I'm here, Caucasian, Christian, Catholic, raised, Canadian, in India, and there's a whole room full of people from Delhi, surrounding area, who speak Hindi as their first language, maybe Telugu, maybe some other languages, Tamil. And they are learning this stuff from me through Babaji's grace, Dr. Pillai's grace. And I am thinking I'm saying it the wrong way. And they're saying back to me the same word in a different accent. But the experience that we're all having together is totally divine. So that, in another way of saying it, it doesn't matter what country you're from or what language is your native language, you're going to say tomato, tomato, potato, potato. It's going to be the same thing, right?
Yes, and that makes so much sense, and that was really, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, good luck, and please share with us as we go along.
Yes, I have loads more questions, so I will be calling in.
Yeah, well, and you can also write in, too. So you can write in to sundayswithsucharita@palaicenter.com, or you can just write in to sucharita@palaicenter.com, and I'll be happy to give you some feedback if you need.
Brilliant. I will be keeping you busy.
All right. Take care and have a great rest of your Skanda Shasti.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. God bless.
Hello?
Wayne, how are you? I missed you the past couple of weeks. What's been going on?
I'm sorry. I slept through the last one.
No. I don't feel like you have to be pressured to talk every week.
I love being on. It's such a great experience from the standpoint of depth, with having so many people in sync doing this this meeting. It's wonderful. Anyway, I just thought I'd make a couple comments regarding what Madeline was saying. I live in Orange County, which is Orange County, California, not too far from LA. And one thing I could recommend to her, because we are both in the center of a huge population, cluster. And that has an effect on your consciousness. You are affecting them, but they are affecting you also. I'd suggest that some of this rain may be coming from her, from that, although it sounds like it's more like training from childhood. But as an enjoyable little thing to do as far as your meditation, I'd suggest going to some place in the Sierras, and the closest for her would be probably Kernville, and it's a kind of a little resort town along the Kern River. It's up in the low high Sierras in the mountains, and it's away from the population center, and it's inexpensive to rent a little, little lodge or a room in a lodge there, and just do that for a weekend and see how it changes the experience of her practice. It's not something you need to do every time, but it'll be interesting to sort of get out of that concentration of whatever forces may be affecting her.
That's great. That's
and
great
idea. I love to go up there myself, but I don't get enough chance. In fact, an Ayurvedic doctor one time told me that I should be out more in the forest, but I can't afford to go and live there, unfortunately, like most of us. For her to consider that this is a process that we're doing, and not to expect a particular result, just let it come however it comes. Mm-hmm. And lightning isn't going to strike if she says the mantra wrong. So mm-hmm. for me, I've been doing this for years, as you know, and most people that are on the call have been doing it for a long time. When I come across a new teaching or a new mantra, I write it down on a piece of paper. If it's mm-hmm. something long that I can't remember, put it next to the chair or the bed where I'm meditating, and I'll get partway through it, and what was the next thing? And so then I just open my eyes and look at it, or I just lift my eyelids a little bit, and you do that a few times until you've got it, and then it comes easily, and then you just do it as a process. So that might be able to help her. And then the other thing is that whatever constraints or habits or mental training teachings that you've had from past times that are there, her first thought should be, well, how did I get to this new thing? You know, there must be some very positive reason that I'm getting here. So that's a positive on that side. And the other thing is that a lot of times habits like that, that you, your mind has been, you know, trained in to think a particular way, they're like a channel in the brain, and you know, kind of like the bowling ball, it falls into the slot. When you miss the lane, it has a hard, it can't get out. It has a hard time getting out. But for her, just it's good to know that, unfortunately, for the bad habit, she's already tasted the good stuff, so it's not going away. And it will eventually override whatever she's, you know, these things, and not to worry about that or take it too seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
that's great feedback.
Okay, just a few comments there.
How's it going with you with Skandashasti?
You know, I haven't been participating. I'm kind of behind. I'm going to try to catch up this weekend a little bit. But I noticed some change in the atmosphere that in normally, I tend to be a little bit vata, so I'll wake up in the night and then not sleep for a little while and then go back to sleep. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it was like I would, that went away. I'd have much longer, sessions of sleep without any consciousness at all, which, I can't remember a time when it was like that. I've always been sort of an ADD person from childhood, so I thought, you know, something must be changing in the atmosphere, and in fact I was even thinking about it, interestingly, and I was thinking about asking the question on the call here to see if other people had noticed anything like that. But then I thought, well, it's not that important. It's probably just some little thing with me. So I'd be interested to know if other people are sensing some change in the atmosphere in that regard.
Yeah, let's ask. Let's open it up.
Okay.
Anything else, please?
No, not right now. I'll just listen. If I have some other thoughts, I'll pop in.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone who wants to call? Yeah, who's this?
Livia.
Hey, Livia, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Always blissful Olivia.
Yeah.
What is this now, your fifth week or sixth week with Dr. Pla? What week is this for you?
A month, maybe.
1 month, oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Wow, what a ride.
I can hear it. Tell us.
Well, I just chime in since Wayne, it was Wayne, right?
Wayne, yes.
He was curious if anyone else had any particular experience, and I just would like to reiterate that he is absolutely real in his experience is absolutely real, because I can relate. I especially after the second, which was last night, Skandashasti. You say Shasti or Shasti? I'm not sure.
Yeah, either one is good.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, especially after the second one, oh, my God, it was incredible. It was incredible. And I don't have a statue, Murga's statue, but I printed out a couple of pictures, and I even put it into frame in two different places here in my place. And after yesterday, Dr. Pillai talk, webcast, you know, it was something very mysterious in the air, even before, even after the first webcast, you know. Something is shifting, and there is this atmosphere of it is emptiness and fullness at the same time, at the full of something, you know, like this divine, mysterious feeling, you know. So, yes, very auspicious. And I am just so, gosh, I don't know. It's just, beyond the mind, beyond the words, and unspoken, you know, this something. And I'm following the fire ritual as well, and things are opening up, you know, like especially, particularly yesterday, like I had this like movements in my body, and I just stayed with it. I was sitting, and the picture in front of me, Murga's picture, and I said, well, it must be Murga. and I was just surrendering, you know, whatever happens. So it is definitely it is something very, very auspicious, you know, all around. And I don't want to, like, I pray, you know, as priest encourages us for whatever we want. I pray, but it's more like I just allow, you know, surrender, whatever happens. So I just would like to, whoever is questioning, you know, is it real or what is happening? Yeah, it is. For me, for sure, and I'm sure for others, it's not imagination, definitely. Yeah, so it's such a blessing, my gosh. And even now, with this guided meditation, beautiful, I could feel this energy up my spine moving, and when I was visualizing the veil, It was sort of, I felt it. Although I couldn't, you know, when you were talking about piercing, I could go up to the throat, but I couldn't pass the throat level. But then I feel in my head actually things, you know, shifting. I think it will improve in terms of the third eye. I still can't fully, you know, it's not happening yet, I think. But definitely things are changing. And then I was going to ask, you were talking about the little veils and put them, all, you know, different places. So how can we get more of them? Because I just get one with the package I got, you know. So how could I order more? Like, in what way it can be done?
Are you finished asking your questions?
Yes.
Okay. You can keep asking them. I'm just writing them down. Yeah. So, okay, if you are, that's great. These are really great things that you've discussed. And there is a kind of a question in there when you have your experiences that I'm just kind of picking up and then can share with you, but just for the sake of the group that doesn't, part of the group that is a little bit shy to share, they would have these kinds of questions, because even tonight it came up in the meditation here, in the community meditation, about the throat. So when you visualize the veil and you feel the energy coming up in the spine, and then it gets to a certain point, maybe it's the navel, maybe it bypasses the navel, maybe it gets to the heart, maybe it bypasses the heart, or it gets to the heart and you feel some activation in the lower chakras, but then it gets to the throat and then it kind of disappears. But you can feel the stuckness. So at the throat especially is where the karma is stored. You know, mm-hmm. as Dr. Pillai says, you know, the Adam's apple is the residual of the sin, you know, first sin of every humankind. And then with the Hindus, they say it's Shiva drinking the poison, and Parvati goes and sticks her hands on the throat and stops him from swallowing the poison, but he's already turned blue. So the throat is a, and it's also on the physical, in the physical world, when we get sick or exposed to some pathogen, that's usually where it comes. We get a, the first symptom is ear, nose, and throat. So it makes sense that it's a filter for negativity on the physical, you know, emotional, spiritual. In the emotional, we stop up our words. So it could be from a long time ago that you're stuck, have some stuckness going on. So it's something to explore.
Yeah.
And then
you
when
know,
you
I,
see it.
I actually feel quite open in my throat in terms of, like, I chant and I like I can feel, you know, the like it's open, you know what I mean, like it feels, I don't feel choked or it feels open, but I don't know, like yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so energetically, because I think you're a yoga instructor, you do a lot of yoga. You might be picking up other energies, and then that becomes a karma that you store. And so the first place of storing is in the throat. So it's something to look about, look into, notice, let it go, work with the veil. And then you said that you feel it in your brain, and that's a good sign too, because as the brain starts to transform, the synapses take on a whole new way of being, and then you can have a different experience in the body-mind complex because the brain tells the rest of the body what to do. And we don't have to get into all of it, but basically that's it in a nutshell, is that as this energy is moving through the body, you might have movements. You said, oh, I have movements, then I thought it was Lord Muruga because I'm meditating on Lord Muruga. And that, in a way, is, can you imagine if you're putting on someone else's clothes and they're not fitting properly, right? So you have to, you know, maybe go and work out, maybe get a smaller size, a bigger size. So it takes a little bit for us to integrate with these divine beings. So it's just telling it's not just a mental thing. You know, Dr. Pillai, I want to say Babaji. Dr. Pillai says, you know, this being will abduct you. So it will take you, and then it will integrate this energy. It will take out your old way of being. You get abducted. Your old way of being gets thrown out. This is useless. Get something with more intelligence in you. Right?
Yeah, and so, I could literally feel this metamorphosis sort of inside.
Yeah.
And it was blissful, you know. And then I had these kind of flashes inside my head. Like, I think for the fractal second, it was even a red maybe, but these flashes, you know, and then it went away. But definitely there was some metamorphosis going on inside.
Absolutely. And then the last thing about the veils, you can go on to astroved.com or PillaiCenter.com, and they have veils products. And then just key in the word veil or Muruga or something like that, and it'll take you to that. And then if you can't see it on the site, which sometimes I can't find stuff, so I just write into support@astroved.com or office@PillaiCenter.com or support@PillaiCenter.com, and then the guys over on that end will, you know, respond accordingly.
Okay, great.
And I wouldn't be surprised, though, that if they run out, because it is the season, right? It's kind of like it's kind of like Christmas is for us. Once the toy runs out, that's it, right? You have to go knock down.
I better do it soon. All right. Thank you so much, Sucharita.
You're very welcome, Olivia. Have a great rest of Skanda Shasti.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, and so one more thing that I wanted to comment about was the third eye getting activated. And as we've mentioned before in these calls, people say, well, what does it mean when the third eye is open? I think my third eye is open. And I don't disagree. However, if you had the question, first of all, maybe we wouldn't say that your third eye is open if it was open. You would just be a divine being and not have to say anything. And then miracles are happening all around you, and even a dead body can come to life. Once that process takes place, you are no longer even having the thought of, is my third eye open or closed, or, you know, halfway open or halfway shut, you know, things like that. So getting activated, though, is something, it's a process, and it's something that everyone goes through. And then during these times, Skanda Shasti, if you're wondering what it feels like to have like a big boost of energy coming and intelligence and the coding or the decoding, deprogramming of what is blocking it, that gets decoded. And then during Skanda Shasti, because Lord Muruga is the god of the third eye, he will give you that coding, recoding, or new coding to open the third eye. And then you'll have these experiences that, you know, maybe are miraculous for you. Is there someone there?
Yes, hello. This is Sylvia from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hey, Sylvia from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Hey, this is my monthly call-in to let you know what I'm up to.
Great. Tell me. Tell us.
So I still consider myself to be a newbie, but I think I'm progressing pretty well. In my quest for community, I came across two Yahoo groups that have been very helpful to me.
Okay.
And also I've been spending a lot of time with the YouTubes, Mohini's teachings, as well as Dr. Pillai's. Mm-hmm. And I so much love using the avatar RT with the eyes of Dr. Pillai that he sent out in an email sometime last month.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me around to my latest miracle. And it's basically, you know, just very interesting what happened. In my quest for community, I had contacted or tried to contact the Asian group. And somehow my email got lost. And then I kind of just let things go by the wayside. But I kept thinking about the Shreem Brzee, and I had copied down the dates and times of the Singapore group. Mm-hmm. So after a second attempt, I did get a response from Vijay saying that it would be great if I attended as a virtual, chanter from my place in Pennsylvania. So I thought about, well, you know, how was I going to have this happen? And so basically I did my avatar RT with the eyes, Dr. Pillai's eyes, and I basically laid out everything that I was trying to do, and I asked for his help, and then I pretty much forgot about it. And one day I was reading an email on one of the community groups, and the email was called Showing Candlelight, and it was regarding lighting candles as a form of connection to spirit. And there was this part where there's a mention of Dr. Pillai saying devotion and faith, and all of a sudden I experienced a very loud and piercing ringing in my left ear. So I knew that this was a special call from spirit, but it was the strongest I have ever experienced it. And generally when this happens to me, I take out something to write with, and using my alternative hand, I close my eyes, I do alternative writing, and I listen and request to be shown or told whatever is to be imparted by spirit. And those keywords, faith and devotion, I knew that had to be the hint there. So I just clearly asked if it had anything to do with this. And I was immediately shown the darshan of Dr. Pillai's eyes, and I was told to use this as a projector and a connector to the Shreem Brzee group. So from that, I was led to open this up in general to others as well. So rather than get into all kinds of protracted and elongated explanations here, I can just say that anyone who wants to participate virtually, I've put together a little package, and anyone who wants to get that information, if they join or they're already a member of Dr. Pillai's either global or New York City group, they can contact me from there, and I will send all the information. But it's just so cool the way I had mentioned before that these sort of concentric circles keep happening in your life, and we call them coincidences or synchronicities or whatever, but it is really just spirit coming into your life and showing you the way step by step to the extent, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, and to the extent that we can handle as well. So that's my latest little miracle, and I'm hoping that, you know, we'll have a lot of extra, you know, virtual chanters that will be plugging in through Dr. Pillai's eyes.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome. Now, would you want to send an email out through, or have you sent an email out through the Grace Life Global Groups?
Inviting people?
Well, what I did was I entitled it on my on the actual webpage as details for Shreem Brzee virtual chant on November 1st, Singapore. And I'm just basically inviting people that if they want to have the details to contact me, and I'll send it to them. And it's really just an outline of my experience, and also it's also an attachment that has the photo of Dr. Pillai's eyes, the photo the image of Lakshmi, the one that had been distributed for Navaratri, that I had very good experiences with, that I mentioned to you the last time that I participated in one of your calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had gone through, well, Spirit led me the whole way. He showed me where on the YouTubes, for people who may not have the experience or for people who don't have the faith in it, I listed a lot of the actual links to be able to connect to them directly so they can start building up their faith and their devotion and the trust that this can actually happen as easily as just asking Dr. Pillai and asking, you know, being devoted to Lakshmi as well. And so it's there for anyone who wants to participate at both the Grace Light Global and also the Grace Light New York City Yahoo groups.
Fantastic.
Yay!
Yeah, that's great. And maybe can you send me an email to sundayswithsuchetta@flycenter.com with those two links? With the two links to the global groups, and then we'll post it to the site here, the blog.
Awesome. And I've also have asked that if anyone has any miracles, I notice that maybe it's because people don't recognize a miracle unless it is like maybe waking somebody from the dead. They think that's a miracle. Sure, it's a miracle, but we have little miracles that happen every day, you know. And I think that it helps to build up other people's faith. And if people are hoping that something will happen, then they can move from that kind of mewling little hope to maybe a full-grown trust in miracles. And if they have miracles, that if they could post them on the Dattatreya Shiva Baba website, because that's supposed to be for miracles. It's the miracles Dattatreya Shiva Baba or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Miracle Omega.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that strengthens all of us.
Great ideas. Great sharing. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Do we have time for a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Okay. Sort of along the same lines as this, since the timing for, I'm in Pennsylvania, and people's timing is different wherever they are. And in order to maximize the timing of when they should jump into the Singapore group chant, in reference to when we look at the our what is that thing, the Panchang? Am I pronouncing it right? Panchang?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it talks about poison time, good time, and bad time.
Sure.
So obviously the good time would be the best time, yes?
Uh-huh.
And can you explain what the other times relate to, what exactly that means?
Yeah, sure, good question.
Thank you.
Good for you for, you know, being alert and aware, because it's so important to be throughout the day. Maybe we'll ask you to go on mute, Sylvia, just so that we don't get an echo.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's better. So the question is, during the day, there are times throughout the day that are called poison time or rahu time or danger yama time or good time, which is gulaka. And those are the different words that you can use in the different languages. And so good time, obviously, that's a good time to do things. So, or it supports good positive energy coming in so that you might have a more favorable result in whatever it is that you're doing. So choose consciously if you have to have a meeting with someone and they say, oh, I want it during this time, and it happens to be poison time or danger time. You go, oh, geez, I'm fully booked. Do you mind coming at this time? And it happens to be good time. Yeah, so then you can have more control over the outcome. So the danger is yama. Yama is the god of death, meaning you could die, but that's, you know, maybe it's not your time, but it can have that effect in that danger means whatever you're doing in that time, if you're having a conversation, it could go totally sideways. You could end up saying things that you never would have said, but have could destroy a relationship, could destroy a project, could destroy your, you know, your ability to progress in life. So you have to be really careful during danger time. It's going to be for about an hour and a half every day. And then you check every day what that is. So if, say, for example, you have to go into a meeting, you cannot avoid it, or you have to, you know, travel, because the accidents can happen out of nowhere during danger time. So it teaches you to be really alert. So danger can also, if you start something before danger time, so even if it's 1 minute before that you start it, you can have, do it with the intention, okay, I'm conscious enough, I have to go and I have to do this thing. It's going to happen, I have to take off on my road trip, I have to take off at this point so I'll catch my plane, whatever it is. So you are on a time constraint, but then danger, you can go ahead of that time frame just knowing, okay, I'm going to pray to Ganesha to remove the obstacles, I'm going to call on Lord Maruga, I'm going to have the veil in my car. You're going to do conscious things to protect you during that danger time. So just because it's icy outside or really rainy or the weather conditions are not so great doesn't mean that you have to be you know, paranoid and you can't go out there. You just have to be careful. So just as if you have to have an important call and that's the only time, then you can just say, okay, zip my mouth. I am not going to say anything, and I will just say, I hear you. That's totally great. Let me think about this and get back to you. So we'll teach you how to be really, it's almost like your soul is asking you to create a situation where you will challenge yourself to zip it or be really, really diplomatic or be really alert to forces, subtle forces, and you'll go, oh my God, there really is something to this danger time. Okay, so things that can go sideways or bad or terrible or even cause death, that happens, can happen during danger time because it supports it. So someone just the other day was lighting off firecrackers, and almost it was, you know, during a time that wasn't so good, favorable, and it almost took the guy's eye out, but his glasses got destroyed instead. Whoa, holy wake-up call. So that's kind of danger time. So try to avoid it, meaning don't stop living. Just do stuff that's not so important, or there's not going to be a danger to it. In fact, in some traditions, they say that it's a good time for prayer. Although some say, no, then there's going to be so many weird thoughts coming in. So it depends, right? You just experiment with it, because every soul is different. I've heard both as far as meditation goes. Danger time, as far as rituals go, they try to avoid it because then it will turn out to be inauspicious. So even though you're doing something auspicious, then that can be inauspicious results. So that can happen. And then poison or Rahu time is like a time where you can be really bickering or bitter or smothered, because Rahu is like a snake. So it can, asphyxiate you. Or you can just feel like you want to just poke someone's eyes out or something, or they want to do that to you. Or something just doesn't work out. So, for example, you're trying to do something technical for the first time, or you need to, shopping. Shopping is one. I love this. People who start to log on to these time shaktis, these Rahu endangered, they say, don't go shopping during those times, or don't eat during those times, because you'll eat the wrong food, or you'll eat the right food, but it'll make you to feel sick, or you'll eat too much and not feel satisfied. Or if you're a shopper and you're one of those emotional shoppers, you do shopping therapy, just don't. Because it will just poison your credit card or bank account. So I hope that's kind of been helpful. So you don't completely avoid it, you acknowledge it, you can do mantras. Rahu is, the overlord for Rahu is Durga, so you can go do the virtual puja to Rahu and then the virtual puja to Durga. Or if you don't have your iPhone handy or your smartphone and don't have the app, or you're not online, just know when those times are happening in the day, and then you just pray to Lord Rahu and Durga maybe a few times during that time, and then just choose things that aren't going to be too important. But then during that time you say, what is actually happening during this 1.5 hours? Is that helpful? I hope that's helpful.
Hi, Sucharita. It's Wayne again.
Yeah, Wayne.
Just a kind of general comment to cover something that came to mind on the last few comments. Over time, as you develop your practice and yourself, one of the things that happens is the growth of silence in your consciousness. Which, as I mentioned in TM, they talk about this a lot. Seven stages of consciousness. The first three, waking, sleeping, dreaming, people know those. Each of those states has a particular characteristic that defines it. Waking, of course, you're mentally awake and alert, and you're physically active. And sleeping, you're not. You're mentally asleep and you're physically inactive, and then dreaming, you're physically asleep and then you're mentally doing things. So the fourth state, which is the name where transcendental meditation came from, is a state of inactivity but alertness. So you're meditating and your system is settled down into a quiet state where you're not active, but you're mentally alert, you're consciously alert. And then carrying on beyond that is cosmic consciousness, where that transcendental state, that silence, is comes follows you into activity. Then beyond that, unity consciousness and God consciousness. Unity is where you realize you're all part of everything else, and God consciousness is where you realize you are all of that. But for the conversation at hand, the idea of transcendental consciousness, which is just silence, that develops during the use of mantras. And in fact, Maharishi said that with respect to the mantras that he gave, the silence was more important than the mantra. People used to fall in love with their mantras, and he says, no, the mantra's like, it's a tool, like a you know, like a spoon or a screwdriver or something. It accomplishes a purpose, but it's not the be-all. The be-all is the development of silence, and I believe that Dr. Pillai, in fact, I was watching a YouTube not long ago where he pointed that out, that the silence was, you know, the most important part. And so as that silence comes in to your life, you will carry it out with you, and then you tend to become, you transition to a state where you are more of an observer of of life rather than being so much stuck in the roller coaster. You're sort of standing on the outside watching the roller coaster or watching the activities going on, and then you become more alert to cues that occur. So something will start to happen, and because you're not so immersed in the activity, you will observe that as something that's has some purpose or some reason why it's happening, and then you'll have a clearer way or a clearer idea of how to deal with that, whether it's something that you need to step back from or get involved with or whatever action is required. Know the right thing. You will have a better a sense of what to do. Of course, as your consciousness increases and your intuition becomes more alive, that will be even more the case. So it's just something that happens naturally over time, and it for some people, you know, they may have rapid change. I think like Libya was, clearly she's having a lot of great experiences, and other people it may take years. I had friends who were meditators that, you know, they just went for years and years, never had any experience of anything whatsoever. It was like they were in the dark ages of it all, but it just continued on and on. But they continued meditating, you know. It was just becomes a really pleasant thing after a while. So that's sort of been my experience, and what I've observed with others is that you can handle life in a more calm manner because you see what's going on, and you can deal with it in a way that's not so you're not so sucked in that you make bad decisions, and you're sort of unplugged, but you know you're in enjoying it, sort of enjoying the ice cream without being so so sucked in that you have to have it every night. All experiences become more pleasant, but yet you're not so tied to them. So that kind of leads to the 200% of life that Dr. Pillai talks about. It's a gradual thing that happens over time, and you know, probably for most of us it takes a long time, sometimes lifetimes. Some of the people here who say they've just discovered, really they probably haven't just discovered. They're just reawakening in this lifetime. They've probably had past lifetimes where they've been involved, and then some it may be new for them. So anyway, that's just my comment on that.
That's very good, Very good, always. Thank you so much, Wayne.
Sure.
Hello?
Olivia.
Yeah, I just want to help it, but I just want to say this is Olivia. Thank you, Wayne, for that analogy about the roller coaster. It's a perfect one, you know, to not be in it, but just watching it. And I was actually contemplating this because one of the videos on YouTube, Dr. Pillai, talks about the grace, and I truly believe that it must, you know, someone must have a teacher, a guru. You know, the grace is that force, that God's force that speeds up the process of enlightenment, right? And I just feel like so, my gosh, beyond words, you know, how grateful I am to be here now in this life. And then I was contemplating also because there were a couple of occasions, you know, in my life, early life, when I almost died. And I could tell that time there was a force that saved me, you know, like a very interesting consequence, you know, like, the circumstances, very interesting, you know, it couldn't just happen just like that, you know, it was not really logic at all. But I was thinking, you know, maybe even Babaji says that we gravitate to certain teachers because we were with those teachers in previous lifetimes. So I was just thinking that this encounter, divine encounter, just almost like, you know, feels like falling into my lap by the grace. And it's not coincidence, because it happened as so naturally, effortlessly, and just within a couple of weeks, it was like, wow, like this is, like I know this, like it's so familiar. So yeah, I just felt like I wanted to express this just profound, I mean, deep love I feel for all these happenings and gratitude.
That's very well said. Thank you so much for sharing that, Olivia. And, you know, it is true. Guru's grace is very, very important in that when you close your eyes and you go inside, you don't even meditate. You don't even know what meditation is. You don't really even care what meditation is, for example, someone. Not you, because I know you do. You appreciate it. However, when you close your eyes, that inner world is kind of scary. And people say, I can't meditate because I'm too afraid of what I'm going to see or what I'm going to think or what I'm going to experience or what will come up for me. It's a scary place, that inner world of ours. So it's like going into the jungle and not having a guide. So even though you may not see this physical form of Dr. Pillai, if you have the grace of previous lifetimes, and you do, every single one in the whole world does, but the only people who will be waking up to him will wake up to him be 20 years, you know, whenever they wake up, that's fine. Whether it's 20 years ago or today, you are getting that same grace. And that actually is the light or the intelligence that guides you, that stops you from near hits or prevents dark forces that cause depression, anger, anxiety. All those things are deadening of your life's purpose, a deadening of feelings. You can have everything in the world, and people say, my God, you're so miserable, you have everything in the world. You're right, I do have everything in the world, and I am so miserable, how do I come out of it? And so even, you know, if you have been given a karma to have everything in the world, due to past lives, and then you meet the master, you have an inner world that you've got to navigate. And then the guru, the guru's grace, which is none other than higher intelligence and light and compassion, when someone gives you grace or they're very gracious, they forgive you for a lot. Mm-hmm. You just say, thank you for your gracious gesture. So I was such a knob and you were so gracious. Mm-hmm. So that's what the guru does on a non-speaking level and in your inner world as you go exploring from this moment on. So thanks for bringing that up, because that's why people say, oh, I'm just going to meditate, and I go, good luck. Good luck. I'll be around if you need to get a referral. Yeah. So it's good.
I am eternally grateful for the Guru's grace, because I wouldn't be here if not of that, and all the karmas, you know.
Yeah.
So I totally surrender to Guru's grace.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to surrender. It will guide you. It will be your guiding force, and then it won't be just a random thing. It will be a soul assuredness. And it changes. So people think, oh my God, I want to have the same experience in my meditation as I had the last time I did it, and I didn't have it, and I don't feel like I'm doing it right. And Guru is teaching you. You're not doing it.
Right.
I'm here in the inner world, in the inner planes, and I'll make sure that you don't crash and burn, which will show up in your life as crash and burn stuff. As within, so is going to show up. So he will help you to diffuse it in the inner planes through the meditations, through mantras, through silence, as Wayne shares. That potent energy that is, there's a presence there. I think it was you, Olivia. You said there's this a very auspiciousness, and you can't describe it, because it's kind of like going to a mountaintop or the Grand Canyon and saying, hey, describe your experience. What? You can't. You're just like, you know? You just have the experience. It's not easy to put into words. And it's better that you just have the experience rather than pollute it with a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Right? I mean, some people have a good, you know, they're very poetic and they can get you into the feeling of it. But, you know, if they're not around and can't create that situation for you, to get into, then you just know that there's this potent energy that's very auspicious. It's a presence almost in the absence of everything else. So there's something present. There's something really great going on. And not just in our everyday meditation or maybe showing up in our lives. There's something really special going on in the world. And it usually is something special going on when there's so much chaos. It's becoming more and more prevalent how super out of control humanity is. And so there is, and then in that kind of deer in headlights situation, then you know something special is happening around that. So it's going to be a near miss. But we will miss the stuff that can take us out, because the divine is coming in. And it's coming in full force. And one of the things that I shared with the members here after one of the meditations that we did, I said, are you seeing God in other people now? Oh my God, yes I am. I didn't even know. Where did you see it, God? In someone, oh, my neighbor, this, that, my husband who I couldn't stand for so long, I see. So what is showing up is because of your own commitment, your faith, you know, your utter positivity towards your spiritual practice, that is the intelligence that's going to help you to identify that everywhere else in your life, in everyone else. And then you light that up. And then they have the experience. So it just becomes, it's just going to be like the switch goes on and lights all around the globe. that's the exciting part. Our Christmas tree. So thanks for sharing about that, Olivia.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for what you just said. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Is there anyone else who has a who would like to share something or who has a burning
question? Hi, Sucharita. It's Wayne again.
Oh, come on, Wayne. Give someone else a chance to talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, quick comments. One is it reminds me of, I mentioned this movie once before, Golden Child with Eddie Murphy, probably made in the early 80s. And right at the end, you know, he goes through all these trials and tribulations and he saves the Golden Child and he ends up back at this monastery in the Himalayas and he's outside and he's talking with this old monk who's dressed in the, you know, the orange robes and Eddie Murphy looks at the monk and he says, thanks for setting me on the path. And the monk looks at the audience and he says, he thinks I helped him. And so, I mean, that's funny if you realize some of the trials and tribulations that people go through with this stuff. But, you know, what people don't understand, because you were talking about the sort of unknown that you're dealing with when you delve into meditation. And it is a purifying practice. So, and you have no idea what's inside of you from past karmas of past lifetimes or what could be little, could be lots, but whatever it is, it's going to come out. In chemistry, when a crystal forms, a crystal is a state where the molecules are in, the atoms are in, you know, just kind of chaos in a solution roaming around, and then gradually they come together and they form a very highly ordered structure. Everything just fits together perfectly, and you get this crystal. And in the course of that, the impurities, of which there's always some impurities in the solution, they get forced out of the crystal. They come out to the surface. And that's sort of what's happening with us. As we practice, we become more harmonious, more orderly, more ordered inside. And the impurities rise to the surface and they come out. So there's specific ways to handle this. The first instruction would be, if it becomes too unpleasant, then stop the practice and just relax and rest for 10-15 minutes. In fact, that's not a bad thing to do anyway after the end of a session, to just sleep for a few minutes. And then continue. If it still continues to be that way, then stop. And then carry on the next day. Maybe just shorten a session from, 20 minutes or however long to 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Eventually, whatever that is will be gone. It'll go away. It'll go out. So that's generally how you handle those kinds of things. And sometimes it might go on for months. You know, so you just deal with it that way. The other thing is that, and Maharishi, I think, used to say this, if you get into a dangerous situation in life where your life might be threatened or something really frightening is occurring, then you can call on any divine entity, be it Christ, or they would say a Gurudev, who was Maharishi's teacher, or Dr. Pillai. Whatever high entity that you have had contact with or even have just been working with, you can call for them and they will come and intervene. So that's what you would do in a very dire situation. You know, it's not to be taken lightly. It has to be a real situation. And then those beings will come and assist. So that's just my comment on that.
Great. Thank you so much. I like the idea of reminding people that, you know, when we're doing these meditations and we go into the jungle of our inner world, it can be a little bit alarming mentally and also just physically, you know, maybe pain comes up. So just be kind and compassionate and rest. Like you said, just relax. And then if you're doing a meditation and you just can't focus, like you're just a monkey, a mind that's out of control, it's doing orangutan, then you just say, okay, this, look at the time shakti. Look at what the planets are for that hour. And just say, oh, wow. You know, I didn't realize this planet was causing this kind of experience for me. And then you just can pray to the planet. If still that doesn't work, then you just wait till a better time that you can do your meditation.
Right.
And then,
I actually inadvertently, I didn't mean to necessarily mean emotional or thought type negative thoughts, but it can be physical pain. I knew a guy who was a bicycle racer, you know, kind of on the pro circuit, and he said, and he started meditating. Man, his knees just were killing him. The pain was coming out from all those years of racing. And then I met another guy who, these were all meditators that had, you know, taken advanced courses and that kind of thing. And met another guy who I talked with, and he'd taken LSD quite a few times. And he said, he likened LSD to artificially opening, spiritual centers in the body or the brain. It's kind of like prying them open with a screwdriver instead of opening them naturally. And he said he used to get horrible headaches.
Oh.
And, eventually those cleared. But it could be physical or emotional or mental or whatever it is, whatever negative experience it is. The other thing, as far as timing, sometimes you'll see that, and this kind of goes back to the idea of being an observer, that you'll sit down to meditate and you'll start to get a lot of interruptions, because sometimes the negative forces that are still active here don't want that level of orderliness to be brought in. And so it's hard to interpret how that is. It could be planetary, like, danger time, poison time, or it could be just that there's some other reason why this might not be the time to do this. So you just need to be sensitive to that. If you're in with a group of people at a party or something like that, and you think, well, it's my time to meditate, it's not appropriate to go back in somebody's bedroom and do that. I mean, just use common sense with this. It's just that, a lot of common sense. Don't be so. I mean, when I first started, I was so into it. I would be at a friend's house and I'd look at my watch. Oh, I've got to go meditate. And then I realized later, that was kind of stupid because I was defeating the purpose. I was making that person feel uncomfortable. I was, doing something that maybe they didn't particularly believe in, and it was just aggravating the stress in the situation instead of relieving it. So just kind of go with the flow a little bit, and it'll all be easier.
Again, great feedback. Thanks, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Yadna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just had a real quick little plug, actually, for a movie I think you mentioned earlier. It's called Awake, the Yogananda story, or the Yogananda movie.
Okay.
And it's very good. It's a documentary. And it talks about the life of this great spiritual teacher. And I believe they have a common, Yogananda and Babaji have a common guru in their lineage, which is the Mahavatar Babaji. So that was interesting. And, it was just very inspiring. And if you get a chance to see it, go see it. It's a good one. That's it.
Oh, great. And what else? What's going on? Hey, you don't get to jump off. I don't get to talk to you much.
I know. I'm getting going with the Six Nights of Maruga, and it's great. Everything's great. Everything's
great. Are you enjoying
wonderful.
The new the webcast this year? Like, were you on
yes.
the webcast?
Yes, very much. Doing the practices, and it's kind of interesting and fun to do these new practices that Babaji's teaching. So I'm excited to see what comes next. Three more nights.
I know, and it seems like a long time already, right?
Right. But I'm glad it's going to be only halfway through. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks so much. And Yagna, always thank you. It's always great that you come on because I get to acknowledge you, happily acknowledge you for all the wonderful write-ups that you do every week and for this program and all the support you give us here, because that's what I hear from the members. I love this. Please, send a big hug to Yagna for doing this, and I learned so much and helps to keep me on track and all the things. It's always positive, so I just want to pass that on and thank you again here.
Oh, it's my honor and my pleasure to do it. I love doing it. Thank you.
Oh, I can tell. Thank you.
Have a great one.
Okay, you too. Have a great week. Yeah, so we might be full. Is everybody full now? Huh? Somebody's here.
I'm going to make a couple little comments. It's Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I was going to say, the last two nights when I've been listening to Dr. Pillai, I just learned so much. It was just unbelievable, and I felt so happy. And afterwards, I did the practice, and I felt so happy. And just listening to you talk today, I'm starting to get, like, floating around again. And so it's really good. And I wanted to say something about I'm doing the Nambu Nayaki program, and it's about the goddess Nambu. I talked about her before, but yeah, she is like the goddess of healing and the goddess of herbs. And I was thinking while I was listening to it how I wished I had more good relationships, because sometimes I feel like there aren't that many people I can share with my happiness or in doing these programs. And so I went out last night just to do the laundry, and I met a neighbor I hadn't met before, and she's into Ayurvedic healing and herbs.
Oh, interesting. So, thank you, Nambu.
Thank you, Nambu. So, and then she was telling me about a group of women, and I was saying how Dr. Pillai wanted us to get together with a lot of different people, different religions, and start praying for the world. And she said, oh, that's what we're doing. You'll have to come join us.
Oh, my God. That's so fantastic.
So it was very nice. Anyway, so thank you. These are so helpful.
And thank you so much. And I just wanted to keep you on for a couple of seconds. The program that you're talking about, Nambu Nayaki, that's the one that's offered through Pillai Center. And what is it? Is it like you go? Is it a program like a website? Is it a reading? What is it?
Okay, there are two choices. The first one is that you have a session, whether that lasts a couple hours or an hour or so. I think it's an hour, two sessions. But
is it online, like through Skype or something?
It's on the Pillai Center. If you type
the session.
In the session to sign up for it, and then Nambu, I did it in person with her.
Okay.
So she gave me an initiation, and she also tells you what Nambu is saying about your health to you.
Right.
And that was really helpful, and Nambu was very correct, and also made me feel good that something I was worried about wasn't happening. So that was good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then I wanted to do the extended program.
Mm-hmm.
So I signed up for the second session, and it's five sessions. And we had our first call yesterday, which was a group call. Mm-hmm. And I took a lot of notes, but she gave us an assignment and a couple assignments. Yeah, she's going to the Nambu Temple this week, and she's going to take our desires with us. So she told us not to just ask for simple desires, ask for, like, people who hadn't had a child and wanted one, to ask for a divine child, not just a child. You know, so I asked for divine relationships. I made a little list, not to make it too long, but and so that will actually be laid at her temple, at her feet, I guess.
Wow.
So, and, okay, then she gave us an assignment to watch a video online of, it's T.K. Jakes or something like that, that Dr. Okay. Pillai has talked about a little bit. And he's a preacher who has, he teaches more in a gospel style. Mm-hmm. So he's very blustery or whatever, or animated, should we say. But his congregation is mixed, and it looked like it was primarily white, actually, because I looked on the YouTube. I thought it was interesting because it was kind of a southern style of preaching, or anyway, being from the north. Dr. Pillai said that he speaks the truth, and he's Oprah's minister and also Obama's minister. And so she had us listen to this tape about it's an emergency, and like you have to have faith to go forward, and you have to ask for what you need. That's what I kind of got out of it from watching the beginning. And it doesn't matter who you are, because sometimes you feel you're insignificant, nothing will happen, because you just hear a little ant in life or something. You don't have an exalted position. And but no, that you have to have faith that God is hearing you. I guess that's what I got out of it.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And ask for what you need, I guess. Have faith and put your actual, what you really want out there.
That's great. So the sessions, the program is 5 sessions. I'm not asking what's in the program because I want to leave it to people to enjoy.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's great because I wasn't aware of the sessions and then how it if you have an initial assessment. So that's really great. So you can have it in person if you got to meet Nambu in person, or you can have it on Skype. I know some people who are doing the online program and they have a call with her on Skype, and they say it's pretty powerful too, very insightful and helpful. And then followed by a group call and then some sessions. So that seems to be like a pretty comprehensive healing program. So it's great. Thanks for sharing. And I hope that more people jump on and take advantage, because I think this program is Dr. Pillai's gift, in a way, for people to get introduced to Nambu Naiki, because as with all of these archetypes that Dr. Pillai invites in, he becomes like the gatekeeper, so that whoever is meant to have this, these empowerments or these kind of healings or whatever it is, these teachings, we never know when he's going to close the door on it. So if it's something that rocks you at the soul level, jump in there, because that is that's an opportunity for you to, you know, get this communication or this initiation into this goddess that, you know, Dr. Pillai might not be paying too much attention to it down the road, or it may grow and grow and grow. So we don't know is the bottom line of what I'm saying. So it's great that you explained it. Thanks so much, Tana.
Okay, just going to say one more thing. Okay, I think the extended program, I didn't mean to say what's in it, but talked about Jakes before.
Yeah, he has.
I heard him talk about it and say that he speaks the truth or whatever. Okay, so the other thing is, I think it's going to get more personal, I mean, for people who are interested, because they asked to have our birth time. So I think it's going to be tailored individually in the future.
Great.
So that's just another thing. But anyway, I really enjoy it. So that's all.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much again for sharing that.
Okay, also I wanted to point out that there are two approaches that Dr. Pillai is doing, an approach that you don't often find to enlightenment, because his approach is, which he talks about all the time, but his approach isn't like just meditation, it's like emphasis on ritual.
Yes.
That's, so anyway, I was just going to say that, like, there's Advaita Hinduism, and then there's, this is like a Tamil Sutta approach. Mm-hmm. So that's all. But there's a difference.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
So
you can still always feel to jump in and cut me off if I'm getting up.
All right.
You can always feel free to just jump in and cut me off if I get off on a tangent. So.
No. I'm just, is that what you want to share for tonight or today, wherever you are?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. Thanks again for all your questions and then also sharing about these programs. This is where we understand it, rather than maybe just going by, hey, this sounds good, when you jump on to Apply Center, because there's such a smorgasbord of teachings, rituals, remedies, all kinds of things. And when we hear our communities, you know, their experiences, it rings true for some of us, and maybe some of us it doesn't at the moment. Maybe it will down the road. That it's great to have the people in the program that can say, this works for me, try it out. And if you resonate with that, fantastic. And then you can be more selective in how you're going about studying with Dr. Pillai, because he just keeps pumping it out there. And, you know, I'm learning just as much as everyone else is on this path. I'm facilitating programs, and still there's new elements brought into a program that has already been rolled out, because he will have this divine insight, and he'll say, okay, tell them this about this now. Oh, okay. So even if it is a structured program, it can be have a little spice added to it. So thanks for sharing, everybody. Is there anyone else?
Have you done anything with Nambu? I just have to ask. Have you done anything with Nambu?
No, not with this particular program, like Beth Damaris, no. But Nambu Naiki, yes, with Dr. Pillai previously when he first introduced. So I only have that experience.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it or not?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. She's the healing that comes is so powerful and so subtle. And again, I'm not in the structured program. However, when you're speaking about it, it's like she's coming and she's the energy is there. So I'm catching it on a subtler level. And I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's how I was introduced to it. And that's how Dr. Pillai is kind of fun, in that he uses, he'll just throw in there and say, okay, let's try this out on a group of people. He's a great scientist in a way, and that in the beginning he would just crank up these mantras or put out these mantras or practices, and you know, I think I've shared with people along the way that he used to have us sitting in these don't move, and it just everybody be rocking and you couldn't hold yourself. And it was a simple mantra like Arutparangdoti or something like that, but because of the time, back then it wasn't so ripe for it to be a smoother experience. So it was kind of like a bumpy road versus, you know, how it could be now in a blink. So when he introduces some people, he'll maybe introduce it to a small group or maybe like at an event, and then it can be the same teaching, but it's at a different time or with a different group of people, and then it can be having an effect when it's presented in a less structured way. It can have a profound effect, or if it's in a structured way, maybe some other time with a different group of people, that is the exact thing that they need. So it's so he's so omniscient. He knows everything about everything. Wherever he goes, he just knows what to give to people and when to give it. And I think someone mentioned, it's so great that I'm being called back to this teaching and being called back to this particular guru or spiritual master, because you know that's where you left off, and then you're going to get what you need to get in a way that is going to help you to remember how to use these tools to commune with these archetypes to get the energization or the healing or whatever it is that you need to get, the support on the path. So thanks, everyone, for all your feedback and another enlightening conversation, discussion with everyone. And it's been a long one. It's after 11 here at night, and I'm kind of fading. So I'm going to just say, if there's anyone who has a burning question, I'm going to wrap it up now. And then if you need to, then send in to sundayswithsucharita@applycenter.com or sucharita@applycenter.com, and I'll be happy to respond when I'm more alive and awake. On the physical level, I'm awake on the inside. Anyhow, Skanda Shasti, this week ahead, read about the sun transiting into Libra, the conversation that we had with Radha, our Vedic astrologer, and try to tap into the energy of the sun, because that is closest to the earth plane right now, and sun is all about the soul and the soul revealing its true desire and then being fulfilled in a profound way. So God bless you all, and we will see you next time. Take care.